Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We'll read verses 7 through 13. This is found on page 1243 in the Pew Bibles, Ephesians 3, Galatians, Ephesians. And we'll, after our reading in Ephesians, we'll go to Matthew, from which our text is taken. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 7. People of God, hear now not my words, the words of the living God. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of His power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 7. It's found on page 1032. And we'll read just the focus of the text this morning, verses 7 through 12. Normally we read one section before, one section after. But now we'll just read our text. Matthew 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. As far as the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, maybe you've had it, young people, young adults, maybe you've had a summer job and you start work for a company. Maybe it's an excavating firm and you show up. Maybe you bring your own shovel, but you probably don't bring your own excavator. You start an office job, usually a desk, other supplies are provided. We would be surprised if you show up and none of those things are there. How much more so does our Heavenly Father provide? He calls us to serve Him, but He doesn't expect us to supply our own strength, our own righteousness, our own life. He knows we lack all that in ourselves. He equips us. He equips us. And He calls us to ask Him for that equipping. That's what we consider this morning. God eagerly equips us to serve. He eagerly equips us to serve. But we are to pursue. We are to pursue grace. Verses 7 and 8. Jesus gives a threefold command here. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, that Jesus commanded us to do this, that's enough for us to obey it. But there's reasons behind it. He points out we need something. That we need to seek. We need to knock. We need to ask. Jesus knows your and my weaknesses. He knows our needs. He knows God's the only one who can supply what we need. Now, as we read this, Jesus is talking about prayer. Yes, that's true. But He's talking about more than merely asking with words. He does not command us only to ask, but He ratchets it up every time. He says, seek, knock. Now, this comes in this context. Jesus is nearing the end of this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he knows we lack the righteousness, the power, spiritual power within ourselves to live according to this sermon. Think back, all that we have covered here. Just flip back from the beginning of Matthew 5. Anger, lust, divorce, oaths, retaliation, loving our enemies, giving to the needy, praying, fasting, not doing things for the praise of men, seeking first his kingdom. Jesus has been instructing us about true righteousness, about how those who belong to God's kingdom are to live. Now, the religious Pharisees and scribes, they lack this righteousness to enter into the kingdom, certainly than to live as citizens of that kingdom. And we're no different by nature. We lack the strength to do this. We must obtain grace from outside ourselves. God must give us that grace. Jesus says then, pursue it. Ask, seek, knock. Grace. Now, how do we know that Jesus isn't throwing the gates wide open to ask for anything? Ask for $10 million. Ask for perfect health. Ask for, hey, a private jet. We hear people who do that, don't they? Aren't we being told here? Name it, claim it. Well, that shows a worldly way of thinking. Remember what Jesus said just a few verses back. He said, what do you say about the Gentiles? They, verse 32, chapter 6, they seek after all these things, food, drink, clothing. Gentiles seek that. And he says, your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Then Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So not only do we gather then from the flow of this sermon, but if you were to read from a parallel passage in Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus says, the heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And so we see where Jesus uses the same word, seek, earlier in this sermon, the parallel passage, ask for the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about a private jet. He's talking about grace. Pursue grace. Grace to do what Jesus has commanded in this Sermon on the Mount. Grace to serve him. We are to plead for the Holy Spirit. Now, before we continue, we ought to pause to make clear that Christ, by his Spirit, must first work in our hearts to move us to seek him. We don't do this even in our own strength. Yet we have a responsibility to ask, to seek, to knock. And that responsibility, that command Jesus gives here in our passage. Now maybe you've collected signatures on a petition drive. You think there, what do? Well, you ask people, don't you? Now maybe you stand in an area where a lot of people are passing. You ask them to sign. But also what happens more, you go door to door and you knock, right? And when you speak to them, you don't just give some spiel. There's an earnestness. You believe in this, don't you? You believe these signatures ought to be done and they should give it. And you're asking them, you're seeking that. How much more in pursuit of grace? First, then, we are to ask. We are to ask God. We need to realize we do lack all the righteousness to do this. We need to realize, though, God has an abundance of it. Ask that he would grant you that grace, that he would give you the Holy Spirit, so that Christ's righteousness is credited to you as well as imparted to you. Credited so that our failures are forgiven. Imparted so that we live according to this, so that we are empowered to live. So what does that look like in our lives? So when, for instance, you face temptation, as the Sermon on the Mount brought out, let's say temptation to be angry, temptation to lust, temptation to not love your neighbor or your enemy, temptation to do things for the praise of men, to be anxious, right there, ask God, pray, ask. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to say no to this. Help me to do what you tell me to do what is right. Ask. But then second, seek. That's related to asking, but indicates an earnestness. Now, by commanding us to seek, Jesus directs us to act out of an awareness of the great need we have. Desire that righteousness, as he said in the Beatitudes, hunger, thirst for it. Realize that God, through Jesus, by the Spirit, gives this righteousness and seek it. It's not just a checking off some list. Yeah, I asked for that. It's a heartfelt desire. Brothers and sisters, do you seek what God offers? So many don't. They don't truly seek grace in the Holy Spirit. Oh, maybe they say, sure, I'd like to have grace. Sure, I'd like to have my faith strengthened. Sure, I'm even called a seeker by that church over there. But is there that earnestness, that seeking? God, as we confess, God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who groan inwardly for them and thank Him for those gifts. Seeking. So what does that look like in our lives? Well, there are different questions we could ask ourselves to see, well, am I seeking here or am I just going through the motions? How much are you seeking? What kind of a priority is it in your life? That is, seeking grace, seeking the Holy Spirit. We think of the means of grace, don't we? We've been going through that in our evening sermon series. Do you desire to hear the preaching of the gospel? Do you desire to partake of the Lord's Supper or to witness the sacrament of holy baptism? What's your personal Bible reading like? What about family worship? Men, are you drawing your family around and leading them, trying to lead them? Are you spending time in prayer? Spending time and attention? And not just to cross off something on a checklist. What part of your life is it? That gets at the seeking. And that leads to the third command, knock. Now, by commanding us to knock, Jesus is directing us to where we are to receive what we so earnestly seek and ask God. Ultimately, we are to turn to Jesus, the one who has all that we need. We read in Ephesians 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul, what does he preach? He preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ. We don't knock, we don't come to ourselves, we don't come to dead saints, even the Virgin Mary, and knock and seek and ask her. It's to Christ, Him alone. In Him is all righteousness, all holiness. He is the only one who paid the price for our sins. He has brought righteousness in the kingdom. And Christ gives His Spirit. So what does that look like in our lives? Don't knock at other doors. That is, are you looking for comfort? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for them in medication, in pleasure, in entertainments, in work, in earthly relationships? We are to knock at the door who is Jesus. Like Jesus Himself said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Well, how do we knock at Jesus then? He's in heaven. We're on earth. We come through faith. Remember the means, again, God has instituted, the ordinary means, the preaching of the Holy Gospel, the sacraments. We read the Bible to have direction for right and wrong. The Apostle Paul, as we read in Ephesians 3, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of His mystery, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. Are you pursuing? If so, you'll ask, you'll seek, you'll desire it, you'll knock where God has told us to. It's not to government, it's not to nature, it's not to some social club. Now, Lord willing, we'll celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. So let us apply it specifically there. By our using the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit confirms this faith. Been seeing that in our evening sermon series. So come to the Lord's table. Ask, pray beforehand, pray throughout this week and after that God would bless it to you. that Christ will nourish you with himself, with his crucified body, his shed blood unto eternal life, so that you can live for him. Ask that. But then also seek, spend time this week in preparation, in self-examination. Show a seriousness about partaking, a seeking to be blessed. And then knock, that is come. Come next week. Partake with a sincere desire. We're not perfect, otherwise we wouldn't need to come. Otherwise Jesus wouldn't need to give these commands. Come. Knowing your need, knowing you need Christ and asking and seeking for it. Ask, seek, knock. Rightly attending upon the preaching and the sacraments demonstrates we're pursuing grace. Not because the church as an institution can grant it or give it. Not because you as an individual can produce it by doing certain works. But this is what Christ has said to do. Examine your heart and life. Here is asking, here is seeking, here is knocking. Are you asking God for his Holy Spirit? Are you earnestly desiring these gifts? Are you making use of the means he's ordained to these ends? Ask, seek, knock. It's not some mystery. God eagerly equips us to serve. And Jesus commands us to pursue that. Pursue his equipping. Pursue grace. And we need this because you and I, we don't ask, seek, and knock as we ought. We have the pull of the Gentiles within us. That's what we are by nature also. Add to that the world and the devil. They pull us to ask for many things, but not God's grace and the Spirit. There's that pull to seek many things, not God's grace and Spirit. There's that pull to knock elsewhere. But not at the means of grace, not to be in his word. Now, Jesus doesn't limit this command just to ministers and elders and deacons. What does he say in verse 8? For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Every believer is joined to Christ, partakes of his benefits. Believer, you are a son of God because of Jesus. And therefore, each saint, you are to ask, to seek, to knock. And God answers. God gives this wonderful promise. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. God is not stingy. He gave his son to suffer and die for us. He doesn't want to withhold grace. Ask, seek, knock. By God's grace, we've been given the great privilege to be God's child, to receive good gifts from God. And so we are to come boldly into his presence. We read that from our Ephesians reading, Ephesians 3, verse 12. We have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Knocking, coming, shows that. It's kind of the climax of the asking and the seeking. Be assured. He will answer. Be assured. Now Jesus goes on to give a double illustration of this. We come to that in our next point. Be assured of receiving. Verses 9 through 11. You know, we can't see Jesus with our earthly eyes, can we? Well, we can't feel his righteousness that is credited to us. There's no usual earthly effect as we receive God's grace and Holy Spirit. I don't feel any different. I didn't experience some fantastic change. I didn't speak in tongues. Did God give me the grace? I asked, I sought, I knocked. Why haven't I done this? You know, our expectations are different. Don't doubt God's promise. So yeah, if you ask for a private jet, if you think that's what Christ is saying here, of course you'll be disappointed. If you're asking for some fantastic earthly experience, you'll probably be disappointed. But not if we understand what Christ asks and then we ask in faith, trusting him. Don't doubt His promise. Don't doubt Christ's promise. Don't go based off of your earthly experience, but judge from the Word of God. If Jesus said, everyone who asks receives, that everyone who seeks finds, that to the one who knocks it will be open, do not doubt. Do not doubt that you will receive. You will find. The door will be open. Don't doubt. God gives you His grace and His Spirit. Don't judge with earthly eyes by earthly experience. Judge by God's Word. Trust Him. Then having asked, having sought, having knocked, and continuing to do so, do what God says in His Word. Step out in faith. Obey in the power of the Spirit. Young people, throughout your life, you're going to be tempted to judge based on what you can see and feel and experience or reason through using some certain way of reasoning, rather than to humbly submit to God's Word. You'll be tempted to elevate your experience, your natural understanding, your feelings above God's Word. Don't give in to that temptation. Listen to God's Word. Jesus gives this double illustration then in these verses. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Fathers, if your son asks you for bread, what will you give him? You won't give him a stone. If he asks you for fish, will you give him a snake? Of course not. It's inconceivable. Just like in last week we saw with the log. You know, obviously it's impossible to have a log in your eye. So something like this is unimaginable. Jesus said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? God is not stingy. He's not. Oh, He may not give you a private jet. He might not answer our prayers exactly as we have in mind. And sometimes even we look back and what we asked for, we said, yeah, I didn't ask right, did I? No. Ask Him. So what does that look like in our life when we seem to be asking for something right and it doesn't happen? When God doesn't grant that request? Well, examine the request, examine our motives, but then trust Him. Trust Him to give what is right in His timing, in His method. Remember, God is your heavenly Father. Your earthly father, hey, he might have withheld things from you. Jesus said, we're evil. Here's a proof for total depravity, by the way. He talks to the Jews, you're all evil. We are by nature, aren't we? Some earthly fathers are very poor fathers, that is selfish, even abusive. But even the best of our earthly fathers are sinners, are evil, as Jesus says. Not so with God. He is so much grander than our earthly fathers. He's perfectly good. He's perfectly loving. He's not selfish. He's not abusive. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't forget. Didn't we have that in our call to worship? He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. He is eager to provide, to grant you His grace and Spirit. Now, before we move on, we need to consider, well, who should have this assurance? Well, this assurance is not for unbelievers. The assurance is not for those who are still living in sin. The unbeliever deserves nothing good from God, such as a rebel. And that person is under God's wrath because of their sins. You can't claim these promises then, the unbeliever. It's only to be found in Jesus. That call goes forth, that urging, trust in Him, turn from your sin. These promises are for believers, those whom God calls His sons. And Jesus makes that connection here. He calls Him our Father in heaven. And so believer, ask God for His blessings and don't doubt. Seek, knock. God eagerly equips us to serve. And when He equips you, then go and serve. And we move to that in our third point. Now, the final verse in our text might seem a little disconnected. It is, if you follow, you know, how things are laid out by the editors of the Bible, but it connects wonderfully. Jesus said, So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You see, there's a connection. That word so connects it. Not just here, but to everything. And let's go back and think of that earlier asking, seeking, knocking. Are we asking God so that God would give us things? Again, a private jet. That's an extreme. But makes it clear, doesn't it? Or asking God, benefit me, rescue me, and that was it? In the past, have you gone to these verses claiming that as you prayed them an earthly desire? Again, then you miss the point. We are to ask, seek, and knock so God would give us what we need to advance His kingdom. To serve others. To live out this Sermon on the Mount. If you're asking for yourself, you haven't advanced beyond the Pharisees. If you're asking, again, maybe not for possessions for yourself, but maybe an easier life, a smoother life, and that's it. That's your focus. That's what you're seeking. You haven't advanced beyond the Pharisees. If you come asking for grace and the Holy Spirit so you can serve, so you can be a blessing to others, so you can endure your trials with the ability to carry someone else's burdens, so you can love your neighbor as yourself, then you show evidence of God's grace in your heart. Evidence that the God of love is at work. The God who so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That He's at work in your heart. We look forward to coming to the table of the Lord next week in order to be nourished by Christ. Why? So we can go forth and live by faith. Live for God's glory. Live in love for Him. Live in love for our neighbor. And that's not easy. None of this Sermon on the Mount is. It's impossible by nature. We need God's equipping. And as He does, then we live. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 13, His sufferings were for the glory of the Ephesian church. Suffering. That's what God has in store for us. Maybe not exactly as the Apostle Paul had it. But he said elsewhere, all who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Suffering of Christ is the ultimate example of that. And that by the very act of His suffering, He bore God's punishment against our sins. Removing that from us. Our suffering, certainly they're different than Christ then. They don't approach it in value, in power. When God brings you through suffering, He's equipping you to help others. In a way mirroring Christ's suffering. God has sent His Son to redeem His people. The Father and the Son send the Spirit to you to sanctify us so that we would obey Him, so that we would live out of God's law, so that we would love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. Christ sets you free. And in that freedom, we are to live. Not in the slavery of selfishness, some private jet for ourselves, but in service to God and others. This verse clarifies why. Why is it you ask, seek, and knock? To do, to serve. So what does that look like? Well, young people, you're at the stage now. This applies to other areas in your life, but you're in the midst of education, being educated, being trained, right? Why? To use those skills to serve. Throughout your life, you are to ask, seek, and knock. Why? Not to be lazy, to be active. The heart of that service, the equipping, comes from being empowered by Christ through His Spirit. Again, tying to what Paul wrote in Ephesians about his sufferings. We go through suffering. These are hard, aren't they? We even are to pray for those who persecute us. Hard. Go through your sufferings with the eye of faith, fixed on Jesus, the author, perfecter of your faith. So that being assured of God's fatherly love toward you, assured that He will give you what you need. It doesn't come from you. He gives it. Asking, seeking, knocking. Serve God through your suffering, by your suffering. Seek God's grace so you can share it with others. Knock at the door of Christ's righteousness, His life, so you can bring to your suffering neighbor that grace. Now, children, maybe you've heard this verse. It's called the golden rule, isn't it? Do to others as you would have them do to you. We need to understand this in the whole of Jesus' teaching and not just pull it out as the world does. You know, something similar to the golden rule can be found in different pagan laws, pagan codes of ethics, how to live. But always in the pagan way, it's stated in the negative. That is, it's stated, don't do to others what you would not want them to do to you. So, children, don't hit your sister because you don't want her to hit you. Stated that way. This is so much more powerful. It comes in how it is worded, the emphasis. What's clear? Don't hit your sister because you wouldn't want to be hit, or, not to trivialize it, but give your sister a cookie because you would like to be given a cookie. It's the difference between how two things are stated. It's the difference between don't do what you wouldn't and do what you want done. It broadens it. All these pagan ethical systems miss what Jesus brings. And that's no wonder, because the ethics of the world are not the ethics of the kingdom of God. Even the work of the law that God has written on the heart of man doesn't reveal the power and glory of the gospel. It goes beyond just justice. Don't do what you wouldn't want to be done. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what God has done in Christ. He sent his son to take upon himself our human nature, to live a righteous life in our place, to die an accursed death in our place, to rise from the dead that we would be forgiven. God has done that. He didn't have to. We deserve condemnation and wrath. Because of his great love, God sought us out. He did to us. It's the grace of our God that we are to pursue. Asking, seeking, knocking. So that by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, we would serve others with a similar love. A love that gives. Not a love that merely withholds pain. Not a love that just stays to himself. Well, I'm not harming you. That's fine. A love that gives. Gives yourself. Brothers and sisters, this is what God in Christ has given us. That's what we are to ask God for in our own hearts, our own lives. And that's what he promises. Next week, when the Lord's Supper is celebrated, ask, seek, knock, and receive. Be nourished. Why? Unto eternal life. Why? To live. What did Jesus say here? Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Don't sit there wondering if God has given you the grace and the Holy Spirit to live this way. Ask, seek, knock, believe, step out in faith, do. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. God eagerly equips us to serve. Now by God's grace, serve, do. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what wonderful promises you give. As we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, it is too much for us. We can't. But that is this law of perfection. It is good. Christ has done it. Fill us with his Spirit. Lord, we ask you, we seek it, we knock. Grant us the faith to believe your promise and to step out in faith and do. To do to our neighbor as we would have him do to us. And as you work that in our hearts, give us the courage and the boldness to tell them why, where we've gotten that love from. From Jesus. And would you work in their hearts and open their hearts to believe also? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.